Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Sarah
and Aaron.
Oh, Foster.
This is terrible.
Foster.
No, this is more like Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron. No time is a good time for a podcast.
So today's episode was really interesting because we had on our close friends. Well, really my close friends.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of like the older brother of my close friends.
Right. The older, attractive sometimes. Brother who, right, you know.
And it was Sarah and Aaron Foster.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun Fosters. Because a lot of people are looking forward to this. We've gotten a lot of people writing in going, when are you going to do the Foster sisters? And it's fun for me because obviously when you grow up with someone and you've known them for so long, it's really fun to see people really love what they're doing. They're, mm-hmm. They think they're hilarious. They relate to them.
You said they think they're hilarious.
Yeah, they do. They think they're hilarious.
Oh, the fans think that they're hilarious.
The fans think that they're hilarious.
I thought you were saying that Aaron and Sarah think.
No. But that's hilarious.
Yeah. They've been our number one request, I think. I mean, as far as reading the comments and stuff, people are sort of asking, well, what about Sarah and Aaron Foster, you know?
Yeah, and it really doesn't disappoint. I mean, they're really candid. I really appreciate that about them, too. I mean, they just say what's on their mind.
But what's nice is, you know, people do know them from Barely Famous and their Instagram accounts. But I do think that knowing them, we were able to sort of maybe get into some things that a lot of people who've seen them and think that they know them don't, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I was just kind of, I knew all of it. So I don't think I said much the whole podcast.
I can't even remember it. It was sort of a blur. I mean, it was really like sitting with, with your friends and there was a lot of history.
I felt like Sarah was super self-deprecating in a good way and not in like a negative way, not sort of, but she owned a lot of things about herself that I appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, it's really fun to talk with Aaron about her journey because she really was kind of a black sheep a little bit of the family, just in terms of the kind of person she was and the kinds of things she was interested in and stand-up comedy. And she wanted to get out. You
exactly.
know, she wanted to like...
She wanted to sort of move away from...
She didn't feel really like she belonged.
Well, and I mean, they had not a great relationship when they were growing up.
Yeah, I know.
You know? They're so tight now.
But it wasn't even like not a great relationship. She just wasn't
Well, Sarah
around.
Was
like, Sarah
was
lived
disinterested. At our house. She was disinterested in Aaron, Sarah.
Completely
disinterested.
It wasn't even like love or hate. She just
right.
had
it was
no
just,
real.
I don't know. Like, you're not on my level. You are not on my plane. Who are you? Go play a clarinet or do something.
Talk about a relationship that has completely defined who one of them is for Aaron, you know?
Yeah.
Sarah is, I'm still trying to figure out what, what's defined Sarah.
Who knows? But you know, what's great about Sarah is she's open and self-deprecating and candid.
Yes. And funny and
funny.
Hilarious.
Really, really funny.
I think the older
and
they
smart.
Get, the more their sense of humor is just honed in.
And I'm the one that got away for Sarah. Just want to put that out there.
Oh, God.
Because she's very beautiful, and I just, you know, I want people
She gets
to know
more
that.
Beautiful as she gets older, too.
I know, it's weird.
So she's got good genes, both those girls. Anyway, it was a blast. And even though we do talk all the time, we don't talk about the dynamics of the childhood, like their childhood, like we did in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and we got another step siblings, which they have a lot of.
Mm-hmm. And we laughed so hard. It was so fun.
The relationship with their dad, which is obviously extremely complicated, but again, it's so candid. They're so candid about it. It's refreshing.
They're very open.
It's very refreshing.
And David's very open these days too. I think you do just get to a certain point in your life where there's nothing to hide.
Yeah.
They're close family. They love each other. They're not perfect.
Yeah, and as they get older, they're getting even closer.
Mm-hmm. They're a great family. I think this is the first time you actually really got to know Erin.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never got to know her like that. That was one of the things
yeah.
you said after the interview was, oh my God, I like love Erin.
Yeah.
I never got to know her like that before, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It was
Erin's
eye-opening.
Super sharp.
Very. Anyway.
Well, I love these girls. I know you're going to love these girls if you don't already. And here's Sarah and Erin Foster.
Whoop, whoop.
Welcome, Sarah and Erin Foster, to our podcast.
Have we officially started?
There's no formula to how we do this. We just start talking.
We started 10 minutes ago in the kitchen. You just had no idea.
That's like one of the interviews where like you don't even know you're already being interviewed when you're being difficult when you walk in the door.
Right. And then they're like, thank you. And then that's the end of it.
But this is really fun because normally we go through all this research and Allison like puts together these packets of like everybody we're doing. And she sent over these packets. And I was like, Allison.
Sent over packets of us.
And then I decided not to look at it because I was like, I'm going to start looking at it while we're here together.
Oh, you want to learn about us as you read?
Yeah. I just read a piece that you went to Switzerland.
Oh, I went to boarding school in Switzerland.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Oh, well, that's because we didn't really know Erin for till like a couple years ago.
Listen, here's what
that's
everybody
true,
should know. Is that Sarah and I met when I was about 23, around the time I got a nose job and became acceptable socially for you guys. And there was a turning point where everyone was willing to acknowledge that I existed. Mm. And it was in my mid-20s. And I had already suffered, you know, many years until then. And that's why I'm
so
great.
To be fair,
now.
I did bring you around early on, but just no one gravitated towards you. So it was like, I tested it.
The funny thing about Sarah when I was younger is that she used to be like, okay, I'm going to bring you to so-and-so's house. You know, whoever that was at the time, Ben Affleck.
But
Kobe,
never took you to bed. Don't
Leo,
even. Never.
Jen, whoever.
I know.
And
she
she'd
was
be
so
like,
cool.
But if you blush, I will kill you. And I'd be like, what? Because I used to have like a severe blushing problem and I would turn bright red whenever I got.
Have a blushing
and I still
problem.
Do have a blushing
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, you still do go red.
I fully still have a blushing
red,
problem.
It's like lobster.
Yeah, it's well, it's also, I love
red.
When Erin yeah.
That's
to,
cute though.
It is. And when she needs to confront something that like matters to her, it starts
it's
to
true.
Turn a different shade.
Shade of red.
So yeah. Wait a minute, is it splotchy gross or cute red?
No, it's an
not
all over even.
Cute at all. It's like my ears are red, my chest is red, my arms are red. It's a once oh. all over heat of red.
It's very it's matte red.
Not
is
cute.
It? But there's no blotchy. There's no like little white blotches.
No, white. It's matte.
Okay,
it's
good.
No.
All right,
it's
well,
as if I'm
good.
Choking, basically. And it, but it happens less often now than it did 15 years ago when I was always uncomfortable or embarrassed. If I would like, somebody said hi to me, I'd be like, and I would just turn bright red and like panic.
Oh, God.
It was more around celebrities. You were really uncomfortable.
I'm still
around.
Uncomfortable around celebrities. No, I'm kidding.
So we usually start this by going from the beginning. Like, let's give some people some color of your background.
First of all, do you know where you were conceived?
No, I think your parents, when you're a young kid, your parents have to speak to each other in order to share stories with you like this. And so they never referred to having known each other.
It was probably in LA or Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the two.
So we all grew up together.
Well, the three of us. Erin came in later.
Yeah, Sarah right. and I were besties since we were really young teenagers.
Yep, high school.
And then you grew up Malibu kids,
Malibu.
Right? Always in Malibu?
No, Calabasas.
Malibu, then the parents got divorced. Our mom wanted to move away as far away from dad as possible.
When did your parents get divorced?
I mean, she wasn't like trying to leave Malibu, go to Calabasas.
She's driven
she
out
to
of
do.
She's driven out of
no
Malibu.
No one's like, I don't know, Malibu? No, I'm going to go with Calabasas. Yeah, I'm going to go away from the ocean.
When did your parents get divorced? How old were you?
You were 5, I was 3.
Oh, it's like us.
Yeah, when they broke up. I don't know, it probably divorce got, 5.
And there's 3 of you. There's you, Sarah, there's you, Erin, and there's Jordan.
Yep, she's the youngest.
And then you also have 3 other sisters?
Two
other sisters, that's right. You have Amy.
Yep, half-sister.
Half-sister.
Same dad.
Who's older.
Allison, half-sister.
And then you have your adopted sister.
Yeah, Allison we didn't grow up with at all. But Amy, coincidentally, came to be with us and our dad and our mom for the summer when she was 13. The day she got there was the day our dad left our mom, and he was like, later everybody, and Amy stayed with us and our mom for the summer. He was like, yeah, I know you're here to see me, but like, I got places to go. So
dark. Super dark, but you said it with a smile, so.
And then what about the other boys, like the Brody's whole thing? What's
so
that?
So then that, well, that's part of what happened. So David ended up with Linda.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Linda had Brody and Brandon.
Oh, so they were steps.
They were stepbrothers. And
with,
then
with Bruce Jenner.
With Bruce. Mm-hmm. And then that didn't work out.
No,
and
it didn't.
Then David went to Yolanda and mm-hmm. married Yolanda.
20 years later, but yes.
20 years later. Yeah. With Gigi and Bella.
And Anwar.
This is so confusing.
So, right. Jeez. So then, so you've had a lot of steps.
Should we throw in?
Well, then on the other side.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Our mom.
I want more.
Okay.
Was then with a man.
Named Ron Fujikawa.
Named Ron Fujikawa.
For 10 years.
11 years.
11 years. And he had three boys.
He did.
One of which.
You know. You
impregnated me.
Yes, that's right. One of them you have a child with, right?
A child, yeah.
You have a child with the mm-hmm. middle Danny.
Ron had Michael, Danny, and Brady. So we had.
And then that was the Brady Bunch. Yeah. That was a good little Brady Bunch. So you guys have had a million step siblings.
Yeah. Our mom was also married to a guy when we were in middle school way before Ron. He had three children.
So then your childhood was as, I think from the outside in, it would be as like Hollywood as you could possibly imagine in terms of the structure in which your life went in terms of family.
Yeah.
There was a lot of different.
There's affairs and breakups and celebrities.
Yes, right. And it's all sort of encapsulated in this very like popular celebrity-driven circle with the Kardashians and the Hadids and all of that.
But what's interesting is that all happened sort of after us. So while our dad was married to Linda, the Kardashians didn't exist. They weren't a thing yet. And then when our dad was married to Yolanda, Bella and Gigi were high school
girls. So where
do
you feel like you guys stack up as far as the Kardashians, the Hadids, and the Fosters?
Yeah,
like,
why don't
we rate this?
I think because you had it right when you went like this.
Oh, I did. And are you guys gunning?
Responsible, are we?
Are you gunning to like leap from 3 to 2 and then from 2 to 1?
I think Sarah's gunning for that.
Yeah,
she's
gunning
for
that. We just recently got into modeling.
A different path.
No, we're just getting into modeling now. So watch out, Bella and Gigi. You know, we've been sort of not wanting to, but we're open to it now, mm-hmm. to modeling. So watch out, kids.
Listen, we're just grateful that Gigi and Bella were not our stepsisters at our age when we were teenagers. If we had been the same, we're 10 years plus older than them. So by the time we met Gigi and Bella, we were in our 20s when they were 12, and vice versa. So if we had had hot stepsisters when we were teenagers, that would be just debilitating. But when you're like 10 years older than them, you can't even compare yourself to someone who's so much in like a different age.
Hey, range. You know what? You guys got your new deal. That mm-hmm. could be a good show.
Which one?
You
hot stepsisters. Like two stepsisters.
Or a porn.
Yeah, well, that's been done. But the two stepsisters who are like the not so great ones and then the two hot ones.
Sorry, who are the not so great ones,
wait,
Oliver?
Well, this is for TV.
Stepsisters, the not so great ones. You're a monster at 10 a.m.
I wasn't referring to you guys. Oh. I was referring to the characters.
So let's go back to you guys as kids.
Oh.
So what was your dynamic? Like, what was the dynamic of the three sisters when you guys were little?
Here was the dynamic. Me and Jordan were best friends, and I was like her little pretend mom, and I'd like teach her how to read and like spend all my time with her, and I'd go to Sarah's room and I'd be like, I'll clean your room, I'll change the outfits of your dolls, I'll do whatever, I'll sit on your floor, I'll take notes for you, and she would be like, leave me alone, you're a loser, get out.
I would
sleep outside her door asking for her to hang out. She would be like, there's no room for you in this bed, I have too many dolls. Like, she just had no interest in what was interesting.
I had a lot of dolls, you guys.
What was interesting about Sarah is that Sarah like wasn't interested in being a kid. No. I was like a real kid. I wanted to play games, I wanted to play pretend, and I wanted to like video games and like dress up. And Sarah would just look at me like, you peasant, you're so sad that this is fun for you. I want to go to a party with Demi. Like, she was just a different, she wanted to be an adult. Yeah. She wanted to be a cool adult.
No, and I remember at seven asking for a filing cabinet for my birthday. Yeah. All I wanted was a
filing cabinet. Well, that makes sense.
Filing cabinet.
That makes a lot of sense to me for you.
Like, yeah. I wore a pen around my neck.
Yeah. You wanted to, like, I...
What were you, why did you want to file? Like, what were you wanting to file?
She wanted to organize her life and be an adult.
Yes, I remember.
She would only write on a lawyer pad. Like, anything she had to do for school was a lawyer pad. She'd wear Stanford sweatshirts.
My mom was friends with this lawyer, and I used to beg her to ask him if he would give me old papers so that I could file them.
Oh my God.
Like, wow. Old documents.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Has that sort of translated into your adulthood? I mean, are you a filer?
I think that if she had
organized in your life,
that was like
that cultivated maybe
what that was, then she would have been like,
no one ever told me.
She would have been like this very,
like an accountant.
It's funny you say that, because our manager Ollie,
I wanted to be Barbara.
Our manager Ollie Ope says, if we had different parents, Sarah would be running a studio today.
At what point in your childhood did it switch where you were sort of became accepting of Erin? Like, okay, this is my girl. She's my sister, and I love her now.
Well, I always loved my sisters.
I know that.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I really did resent that I wasn't an only child. I really had actual resentment about that for a long time.
Because you just wanted to be the center of attention.
I wanted to be the center of attention. I didn't want to share. I was selfish. I mean, I was honestly very selfish until my 20s. I mean, maybe even until I had Valentina.
What? Say it, Kate.
Kate said you
still
are.
No, I was saying maybe.
Maybe you still are. That's
like
what she
said. I'm like, it's like a moment of vulnerability and she's ready to attack me.
I know.
It's incredible.
I'm just saying that maybe it was a little late. More like your 30s. Yeah.
Okay, you could say
because
that.
Because we were in the 20s.
Yes, you can say that, but you have to remember, I had Valentina at 29 years old. And let me tell you something. I remember a week before she was born, I was laying in bed and I was like, I'm going to be the worst mom. I am so selfish. I want to only take care of myself. I want to watch TV when I want to watch TV. I want to go on a trip when I want to go on a trip. And let me tell you something. When I had that kid, everything switched. I didn't leave my house for 8 weeks. I had no baby nurse. I had no nanny. I completely did a 180 and I became the most selfless person, which I didn't think I had in me. I was all about this child for the first 5 years of her life. And then I got a nanny and I, you know.
Right, and then you became
and
selfish.
Then I went back.
Selfish again, right.
I went back.
And listen, you've changed a lot.
Yes.
You are an extremely selfish person for the majority of your life.
Yeah.
But in the last 10 years, you have worked on yourself a lot.
Yes.
And you have changed a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Oh, I look back at certain things. I mean, I remember I would smoke cigarettes and my grandma would be in the back seat and she'd be like, please don't smoke. And I'd be like, calm down. You know?
She's like, you're a loser.
I was.
Put your oxygen in. Yeah. Shut up.
Sarah was a monster.
I went to like Thanksgiving topless once when I was 14 and my family was like, can you put a shirt on? It's Thanksgiving. Oh, and I was like, it's my house too. I was a monster.
Oh yeah, wow. We were driving to Jordan.
I loved the
We were driving to Jordan's high school graduation and we were like really late. And so I was like, I want French fries from McDonald's. And we were like, there's no time for that. She's like, pull the fucking car over. I want McDonald's. And I was like, you're a monster. And she turned around. She's like, you're so jealous. I was like, wait, what? I'm just saying you're like a horrible person.
That sounds like Sarah now.
Yeah. Give me French fries. Sarah's like, it's scary how jealous you are. I was like, but
I embraced all of those things in Sarah. Well, we got to get back to the dynamic, but I remember, I mean, one of the things that Sarah, you could never get eye contact with her if you ever went out.
Oh yeah.
Oh, because I mean, talk about looking over the shoulder.
Oh yeah.
Who's coming in?
Oh yeah. You weren't exciting enough.
Is it?
I needed.
Oh yeah. Oh, you were
no
literally
one was.
No.
Well, Ollie got my attention.
But then but I liked it.
I had a huge crush on Ollie.
Yeah, when I was when we were
everybody
young
did.
So then the dynamic changed, you think, when you had Valentina?
No, I think my dynamic with Erin changed way before.
No,
that.
Yeah, of course. When you were, what about when you were like 10?
Yeah,
you
know, I would say around 20. Me 20, because I'm a year and a half older than Aaron.
No, I would 10, say, she had no interest in me. No, 15, 10. She had no definitely no interest in me. And then 20, I think she started, you know what? I think she started using me as like a buffer so that she wouldn't have to like go to someone's house alone. Because you'd go to like a late night party or something and it's like she didn't want to walk in alone. So she'd like let me come with her. But then we'd get there and she'd be like, go away.
Well, let's hold on. Let's go back from 0 to 20. So what was the relationship like? Was it completely non-existent?
Well, we went to different schools.
Were you totally dismissive of her?
The relationship was that I thought Sarah was so cool and I wanted to be friends with her, but she wasn't nice to me. And so I was like, fuck her then. And we didn't really have a relationship. So like, I think we had such different paths. Like for Sarah, it's like every door opened for her when she walked into it and every door slammed in my face in the sense of, like, I would like trip over something or I had like braces for too long or like I was bad in school or like we were on the same sports team every year and like I wasn't good at it and she was great at it. Like she just, everything was very easy for Sarah as a young person. Like school was easy, friends was easy, and all those things were hard for me. I really had a hard time in school. I failed out of the 10th grade. I went to like 6 or 7 different schools trying to find my right place, which is why I ended up in Switzerland. And so I think that dynamic on top of her not including me in anything didn't make me like root for her, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that became something later in life that we had to figure out between us because we then had a friendship. We had all this like history of hostility in our relationship. But when I was in my 20s, there was a point where like I stopped trying to like fit in with Sarah and be cool for Sarah. And I was like, I think I'm just going to go see who I am like on my own, like not try to be with her friends, not try to be cool. And like, what she would think is cool. I'm gonna like go to like UCB and like learn comedy and do stand up and do like improv and stuff that she would think is like lame. But I'm gonna like find a world that's for me. And as soon as I stopped trying to be like cool for her, then I think we like got along better. You know?
Did you think her doing stand up was lame?
God, no.
I don't know, but like, you know, you go to like UCB, you go to like improv classes. Yeah, that's not right. Like cool
back,
too.
Back then.
No, yeah. But I also think that we're putting a lot of weight on the relationship. Like, I don't think you sort of sound like you were like living and dying and breathing by my approval. Like,
I
that
was.
But that, no, you
but
were.
That, but, that,
no,
I think
but this
what
was weight on her side right. of things. Yeah. For you might have been like, she's like out of
and
sight, out of mind.
And that's what we've realized.
It was a big relationship.
That was me with Oliver. We talk about this all the time. Like, all I wanted was for Oliver to acknowledge my existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please.
I didn't know like, you guys had that.
Oh
yeah.
Crazy. Aaron, you don't understand. Ollie was so cool.
I remember
like,
that.
Kate was not nearly as cool
but
as
I thought
Ollie.
Kate,
Ollie was
too.
A legend.
I was cool.
Yeah. I was just like.
I'll never forget when Ollie took me to California Pizza Kitchen. Shayla Mandel didn't talk to me for like a month.
I remember that.
Because it was like, so controversial that Ollie Hudson took me to CPK.
Why?
And everyone at Crossroads was like heard about it.
Was it a date?
It wasn't even a date.
She
it
was like hungry.
Ollie was hungry. No,
she was like dropping her off at our house.
Literally, it was like nothing. It was like I was there and Ollie's like, I'm hungry. And I probably had just eaten. I was like, I'm starving. and he just like threw me a bone and took
listen,
me to
I think when you're young, power dynamics play a big role in your life. Because as an adult, when you figure out what your lane is, what your sweet spot is, what you're good at, what you're bad at, and you embrace who you actually are, there's no one who can really have a ton of power over you. But when you're a young person and you decide someone else holds the keys to me being cool or me being accepted, that does feel very powerful. So I think it was more powerful probably on my end than your end, because to me, I didn't exist unless Sarah would like let me into her world, or she would think what I was doing was cool, or she would accept me. And I lived and died by that concept. Yeah. It wasn't until I let go of it and I was like, fuck this. This isn't working for me. I was probably
Michael Murray. So you became really cool in your
CM
own way.
CM squared.
All right. You're right about that.
You became. CM that's squared. Actually when she realized she didn't need me. She's like, yo, I'm fucking dating Chad Michael Murray.
Wow.
You can lose. So let's
that
just.
Did give
let's
me some
be
status.
Honest. That's actually what shifted.
It wasn't even really to Sarah that felt like that, but it was like to the world. I had not been cool yet. And then all of a sudden,
I remember
the
this.
It
I
guy
totally
in TV
forgot.
Was like died for me.
Yeah,
and I kept being
man.
Like, wait,
yeah,
why?
And
I was
by the
like,
way,
so
I was
fat.
So happy for you. Like, I think some people would assume that then I would, because I wasn't dating anyone cool, but I was like, that's so dope. Like, here's the deal. I rooted for Aaron always. I didn't want her to fail. I was just oblivious to it all. Something I think that held so much weight for her didn't hold weight for me.
But then what
me.
Happened with you? When did you finally be like, okay, in your 20s, start paying attention to your sister, who's devastated by the way you treated her.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't know at the time. If I had known at the time what it was actually doing to her, I was just,
first of all, it's like it's very, very classic sibling relationship. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, too, you guys are dealing with a broken family dynamic. Yes. You're dealing with your probably intense need and desire to seek connection with family, needing validation. Sarah was seeking that elsewhere, not with you, mm-hmm. because you're not older. So Sarah was seeking that with people like me, it's with true. Boys.
Her friends and became her family.
Right.
So, I was obsessed with boys. I remember meeting your parents. I was like, I want them to be my parents. They were so cool. Like, we would joke in our house. We'd be like, you just want to be a sibling of the Hans. Like, yeah. Yes, I do.
We lived together every weekend.
But I was more concerned, truthfully, and I'll make it really quick. You know, we have to throw in, like, our dad was raising other children. He wasn't raising us.
Right.
He was raising Brandon and Brody. That was the family.
Who was raising you?
My mom. Right. So for Aaron, what would like weighed so heavily on her was like me. I was like dealing with my whole own emotional turmoil, which is like watching my father raise other children. And that was the thing that kept me up at night. Not like my little sister, who I loved.
What was the time when you guys started to figure out what it was that you wanted to? I mean, I know you started doing little bits of modeling and auditioning.
Well, that was my only way out. My only way was like, my dad was like, look, if you're not going to college, figure it out. And at that time, everyone was telling me I could be a model. So I was like, oh, I can be a model and like make money and then not have to go to college and still date this guy I'm dating. And yes, that's amazing. So I fully started modeling. I was just like, how can I pay my phone bill and my car bill and stay with this guy?
Yeah.
And modeling was the thing. And I wasn't like, you know, that successful at it, but I worked a lot.
Did you go to like Europe and all that?
I went to Paris. You know, I did the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, Aaron, you went to Switzerland. You checked out.
Yeah. I was in Switzerland for 11th grade.
And you loved it. Yeah, I remember this.
I did really love it.
Did you lose your virginity in Switzerland?
I did, actually.
You did? To a Swiss man?
No, unfortunately to a guy from Tennessee.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay, great.
But he came from a really rich family. I don't know if that helps.
That does.
That does. That's so sincere, Ollie. That does.
When I was at school in Malibu, I hated living in Malibu. Like, it was the depths of my unhappiness. I think... And I mean, you guys had a different experience, and it's different for guys there, but I would say that guys in Malibu are maybe the lowest form of humanity. They are the world's worst guys.
That's a blanket statement that is just not...
I'm comfortable putting it out there.
Appreciate
it. Where did you go? Did you go to Malibu High?
I did.
You went to Malibu High? Well, back then, Malibu High was fucking crazy.
Oh. Yeah. Malibu High was filled with guys who called you a bitch, made you pay for dinner if they asked you to go to dinner with them.
And then did heroin and fell asleep.
I never had...
Right, and then drove off a cliff.
Yeah, I'd ask for a hand job and then fall asleep. And then, like, the first date I was ever taken on. Okay?
You were giving hand jobs?
The first date I was ever taken on, this guy asked me out. He was rich. His dad was on a soap opera. And he was driving me to dinner, and I'd never gone out to dinner with anyone before. And I mean, like a date. I was 15 or 16 or whatever. And he stopped at Bank of America on the way for me to get cash out on my debit card. And then he took me to Nobu, and he put the bill on his dad's credit card and then had me give him cash for my half.
Wow.
Okay.
That's Malibu.
That was the kind of gentleman that I was exposed to.
What was his name?
Did you make out with him?
I don't. Not that night, probably. I didn't put out. I
was the next night?
I had to pay my own way. I probably did. You know what? He ended up dumping me while I was at the Space Jam premiere, and I got a beeper message, and it was like a voicemail on the beeper that I was getting dumped at the Space Jam premiere, so that movie's like pretty triggering for me.
Oh, my God.
No, a lot of the guys in Malibu, what their vibe was like, spend my parents' money. They're burnout stoners. No one's interested in the world. No one's like treating women with any kind of respect. No one's like... curious about the world or doing anything interesting or talking about anything outside of what's happening in Malibu.
When you went to Switzerland, what did it feel like for you in the first couple weeks? Was it like freedom?
Yeah. So I was so kind of unhappy with it being in Malibu that I had heard about Concord, and I went there first because I thought, oh, if I'm in Santa Monica, then it'll be, you know who went there, and that's why I knew about it, was your ex-girlfriend's little sister, Natalie.
Oh, yeah, Natalie Shaw.
Natalie Shaw. And I met her somewhere in the world, and she said she went to Concord. I thought that's so cool. And I was like, oh, if I maybe have to go to school in Santa Monica, then I'll meet different kinds of people that I'll feel more connected to. And so I did a year at Concord, and that obviously wasn't enough. It was not that far. And so then I was like, I want to go the farthest place I can possibly think of. And I found a school in Switzerland that would take me. And I went, and I kind of had this instinct, like, even if I go to this thing and it's terrible and scary and like painful and difficult, I just know instinctively I'm going to be a better person for it. Like, I just know that I live in this bubble that's so uninspiring to me. And I don't mean like I was so deep and like needed to be stimulated, but I was just like, so, I really didn't feel like I was understood or seen by anybody around me. And I thought like, I need to see, be in a different part of the world with different kinds of people. And as soon as I got to Switzerland, to answer your question, it was very scary, but I quickly realized that the hottest girl in school was not necessarily the most popular girl. People judged each other based on a well-rounded, whole like full spectrum of qualities, not just like, are your parents rich? Do you surf? What car do you drive? It was like, how many languages do you speak? Where do you want to go to college? Are you nice to people? How many activities are you involved with? Like, people were just more well-rounded, and that felt more accessible to me.
But you were, it seems like you were extremely proactive in deciding your future at that young age, right? You were the one who were you were leading the charge, though, meaning like, fuck Malibu, I want to go to Concord. Okay, fuck Concord. I'm going to find Switzerland and put me there. It sounds
to me, yes, this is why.
But that's a great, I mean, that's pretty mature.
Well, what's interesting about that concept that what you're just saying is that I am now engaged to someone whose parents have been married for 40 years, and he comes from a Russian Jewish culture that's a thick community of like family-oriented people. And very early on in our relationship, I realized this like disconnect in our upbringing, because he was like, Aaron, the number one rule in life is you always honor your parents. And I was like, honor your parents? I had to like completely rebel against my parents to survive. Like, I had to tell my parents to fuck off, and like, I'm going to Switzerland and I'm going to go here. Like, to survive, I had to basically tell them how what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Or else I would have been stuck in Malibu.
But to be fair, our parents didn't fight. Not that I remember. We had parents that I think were okay with us going away.
The one thing that I'm finding really interesting, because we never talk like this, which is so great, because we spend time together and we do everything together, basically. But we don't ever get into sort of the depths of family dynamics and like how that informs who we are today. But the one thing that I'm hearing is a lot of searching outward, but the internal drive to be something or do something or be passionate about something is missing from this conversation, which I find really interesting, because you guys are doing interesting. You guys have a plan of action now. Yeah. But in terms of like what you were interested in doing when you were younger or what you were passionate about was something that you hadn't really discovered as kids.
I think our 20s were survival mode in a lot of ways.
Our childhood was.
Well, our childhood definitely was. But going into our 20s, at least for
survival
myself,
mode, hold on. Survival but, mode how? In what way?
Well, we had, you know, we grew up with a safety net, right? Our dad always said to us, you'll never be homeless and you'll never be hungry. But we did not have a trust fund. We did not have an allowance. We did not have like
free. We did have an allowance.
What?
We did have an allowance.
No, but we didn't have, we had to have a job.
I guess what I was asking, were you talking about emotional survival mode?
Yes. Or I'm talking double. I feel like, at least my story is, I didn't really have time to figure out what I really loved, because I was just so focused on, I've got to make money. Was I passionate about modeling? Fuck no. Did I want to go audition to be like the host of ET on MTV? Like, sure, it was cool.
Honestly, and
it
that was cool.
No, it was. But like, could I honestly say that I was passionate about it?
Pretty cool.
I can't say that I was passionate
about
it.
Well, here's the other dynamic that was happening, which is what Sarah's referring to also, is that we never lived with our dad, right? After our parents broke up. So from the ages of 3 and 5, we were living with our mom. And our dad was living in this $20 million house with Brandon and Brody. And it had like the trolley and it had the pool and it had this thing. And
they had like 4 cars.
Yeah, they had a very different life. But out in the world, people would be like, you guys are spoiled brats and you guys have it all and you're rich kids. And we would be like, I mean, yeah, but like we don't live there. We're not even allowed to. We don't have the gate code. Like we don't have a room there. We don't. I don't think we're really a part of that world.
We got the gate code eventually. But we didn't have a key.
But was there resentment?
We didn't have a key.
Was there resentment, though? I mean,
Of course.
Okay.
But I was less about like resentment towards them. It was more like we're misunderstood out in the world because we have this like fake spoiled lifestyle, but we're not even really allowed to be a part of it. But so we get all sort of like the backlash for it, but we don't actually like get the benefits. And I think when you're 15, you don't have the maturity to understand that like them having a spoiled lifestyle is not going to serve them well. You're just like, why do they have all these things that I don't have? And my dad's the one giving it to them.
Sarah is a very stoic personality, right? Until she's not. And like deep down, you're quite sensitive and can be fragile at times. This thing that's been built up for so long based on whatever that was, when it starts to break down, she still has a hard time letting that down.
But we've been told by our father to toughen up those words since we're 5 years old.
We didn't really have like any parental unit that was sort of giving like a nurturing environment for those.
What's interesting though is like from a sisterhood standpoint, you guys were so separate. So you couldn't rely on each other for any sort of emotional support.
Aaron and I,
because you were doing your own thing, and you know you didn't want any part of Aaron, and Aaron was in Switzerland, and I was just trying to figure out how to be an adult.
And
you literally, had your friends, and I guess you had your friends.
We never even hung out with any of the girls. Like they were never around. Like literally, Sarah lived almost
my own
a
life.
Completely different life.
Yeah.
Than you know the girls were. Jordan, I'm only now really in the last couple of years. I mean, 7 years, I guess it's getting now it's getting up there.
But I always went to you. You never came to me. I don't really have a memory of her being at our house growing up.
I remember when we had our house.
I never went to you.
We were in our late teens and we had our house in Malibu and Sarah and I lived on the bottom floor.
The Cavalry house. That's when I started coming
And I remember like when Sarah's phone line would ring, I would like run to the living room to try to answer it so I could like talk to one of her friends. Because I was like, what's her life? Like who does she talk to? I just wanted to like know. I'd be like, hello. Hey, Kim Stewart, what's up? No, Sarah's not here right now. I was just like dying to like know her life. Oh, who are your friends? God. Like a glimpse of being able to talk to one of them would have been so exciting.
Come sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me. By the way, that's an amazing jingle for away. Do you have away luggage, by the way?
Yeah.
I do too.
It's a very popular travel bag.
I have both of them. You know, it's actually helped with my marriage because, as you know, Erin packs everything to go to, even for like a 2-day trip.
She needs like the store.
Oh, it's crazy. We got the bag. We got the away luggage, and she was able to literally dump her entire closet in there because there's these straps on there where the clothes are piled up like 6 feet above where you think you can close it. And then you pull on these straps and it just shrinks down to nothing.
I know that's what everybody says.
It's really amazing.
Super convenient. They offer a range of suitcases made from different materials. Durable nylon.
Yeah, I have durable nylon.
Polycarbonate.
Yeah, I have one of those.
A variety of colors, two carry-on sizes.
I've got those.
So they have the big one and the small one?
Yeah.
I think the built-in compression thing is the thing, though.
I need built-in compression around my midsection right now.
I don't think Away luggage does that.
There's a 100-day trial on everything that Away makes, which is great. You can take the product on the road, live with it, travel with it, get lost with it for 100 days.
And then you can return it after 100 days?
Yeah. They're offering Sibling Revelry listeners a special deal.
We love this.
Visit awaytravel.com/sibling to learn more. And if you're in the US, EU, UK, Canada, or Australia, order by 11:59 on December 15th for free ground shipping with guaranteed free delivery by December 20th.
Nice. I wish every company did that. That's what I need because that's when I do my most Christmas shopping.
Again, that's awaytravel.com/sibling. And if you're in the US, EU, UK, Canada, or Australia, order by 11:59. On 12:15 for free ground shipping with guaranteed free delivery by 12:20. Just get it, buy it, do it. Awaytravel.com/sibling. Oh, there's the doorbell, I think. someone's delivering some away luggage.
So when did you guys decide, oh, we're going to get together and we're going to start doing creative things together?
I think that what happened was in our 20s, Sarah ended up getting this big movie, Big Bounce. She was embarking on being an actress.
Right after Debs, right? Debs was huge.
And it was. And then I think Sarah at that time was feeling, I think she probably maybe didn't even know it at the time, but she was kind of like unfulfilled. Like, yeah, I'm acting, but like she didn't seem to like care enough about it or like live or die by the I wasn't treating it like a business.
She wasn't passionate about it.
Not at
all.
She wasn't passionate. I don't think she was fulfilled, probably because she was on the wrong path at that point. And I had started to just, I decided I want to be a writer and I wanted to be in comedy. And I had never figured that out before. I never even knew that like I should be comedic. I thought that like the part of my personality that made jokes was just like something I had to phase out because it was like what made me like blush and say the wrong thing. I didn't realize it was like actually something I should harness and use to my advantage.
And by the way, you were not even acting in comedy. You were in every single drama on television.
It's true.
You got cast in every, like, in like one or two episodes.
Because I really, really didn't know who I was. I was trying so hard to be like taken seriously. I just didn't have any idea. So when I was like 26 or 7, I started a blog when blogging was cool. Like not today blogging, original blogging, called totallyconfidentandcompletelyinsecure.com. And that's when I realized I wanted to be a writer. And then I started the Single Girl's Guide on Hello Giggles. And I started being like, oh, I want to be like an internet writer. I was writing for Daily Candy. And I was like, this is going to be my world. And then I ended up writing a script. And then I ended up getting like signed to CAA as a writer. And I was like, okay, I finally figured out my purpose. My purpose is I want to be a writer. That's going to be my life. I'll be a staff writer. I'll create shows. Like, this is my dream. Had nothing to do with Sarah because she was on a different path.
I was on a television show called 90210 at the time.
True.
For 5 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The remake?
The remake.
Yeah, the remake.
And so I then...
you didn't get asked back for this latest...
Unfortunately, I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
There's still time.
What was Sarah doing, by the way, when you were?
She was acting on 90210. Yeah,
right. But were you guys? Yeah. Were you guys connected?
Yes.
Were you homies at that point? You were homies
at that point. We were all connected. Aaron started, and Aaron then became friends with all my friends. For people that are listening that don't know us, that don't know any of these dynamics, I think it could come across like that I was awful, which in a lot of ways with Aaron, I regret a lot of it. But, you know, I was always her champion, always supportive of her, was so excited for her to be friends with my friends.
I also remember when she had her first stand-up. I remember you with her first one.
Of course.
Where was it? In the Valley?
UCB. I made everyone come.
Everybody had to come. So it was like a whole thing. She was very like...
It's true. She was very... Once I found my thing, she was very supportive of it.
And the relationships that we have with our parents really do define our relationships with our siblings a lot of time.
And you understand why the way that you grew up became your survival mode against each other or with each other. And that like Sarah being mean to me was because she was going through her own shit and she didn't have room and space to be a big sister because she was trying to be her own person.
That's a good way of putting it. There was no room or space. Like I had so much of my own inner turmoil with our own family dynamic. But you look back and you're like, oh my God, we're each other's allies. One thing our dad always did say to us is the most important thing to him was that we would cultivate a deep, meaningful connection with each other as siblings. Because he would say that is all you have in life. Yeah, truly.
I say that to my kids too when they fight or whatever. I'm like, listen, you fuckers.
Yeah.
This is all you have, okay?
It's the worst.
At the end of the day, they're the only people who will ever know exactly what it's like to grow up in your household with your mom and your dad. Mm-hmm. And that is an invaluable thing. There's no, your husband, your wife, you cannot,
mom or dad.
Yeah, right. You cannot find that in a partner or a best friend. No one will really truly know that. And that's really important. So Sarah and I didn't plan on working together in the sense that we just hadn't thought of it.
Well, you were staffing on a
show. So I went and staffed on an NBC show, on this Ryan Murphy show. And I was like, okay, I'm a real writer. Then that show got canceled and I tried to sell a pitch, another show. It didn't get bought. And I didn't really know what I was going to do as a writer. And then my managers at 3 Arts were like, you know, it's so funny because all of our clients are trying to get reality shows, and we keep having networks call us asking you and your sisters to do reality shows, and you guys don't want to. It's so funny. Like, you guys are the only people who are just trying desperately to not be on a reality show. And we kind of like looked at each other and they were like, let's think about that. There's something funny in that as an idea. So we had this coffee and they were like, okay, we have this weird idea. What if we shot a show, like a Curb style show, that is about two girls who say they'll never do a reality show. And so they're filming a reality show about that. Mm-hmm. And it's this like meta comedy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's genius. And I was looking for a show to write and to sell. So I called Sarah. She was in Europe and I pitched her this idea.
Did I just have a baby?
I don't remember. Yeah. And Sarah was like, that sounds really weird. It sounds like it's a reality show. I was like, no. It's literally just a comedy making fun of reality TV. So we started working on the idea for Barely Famous. And that was the first time we had ever worked together. And it started this like comedic duo sister thing that we now have, a career made out of, and we didn't plan on doing that.
All of a sudden, people were going, you guys are really funny, and this show is so good, and where did you guys come from? And people started taking us seriously in a space that we could never even, I mean, Comedy Central wouldn't even hear the pitch. Comedy Central was like, we don't know, we're good. Right. Like, they're hot. Like, we'll talk to them, but what, they're comedians now? I mean, and then which is like, when you hear stuff like that, it just, it's fuel for you. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, really? Okay. And then cut to after season one, they were like, God, we should have taken that meeting. You know, it feels so good. But listen, we could talk about this forever.
Yeah, but it was smart though, because you guys were doing a concept based on what your relationship is, but heightened.
Yeah. Now that you guys work together with all of the dynamics that growing up and the relationship that you guys have now, is it challenging to work together?
Yeah. I mean, we're in a really good place now, especially with, our overall at 20th now has put us in a really, it's sort of given us freedom to be involved in what the other person does. But
let me just say that you guys just got a deal at 20th for producing shows.
Yeah. So it's
for
like,
most of the audience are going to overall at 20th and they're going to have no clue.
Oh, so yeah.
but way before the overall, I think that like any relationship, romantic, sibling, overall, parent, anything, Sarah and I are in a very good place now for one reason and one reason only, and that's that we've communicated and dealt with our issues over and over and over again.
Constantly.
And when we started working together, it was very challenging because we still had power dynamic issues. I still had old resentment towards her and she still had old resentment towards me. So the littlest thing that I would do would set her off and vice versa. And we fought a lot season one, and then we had to have these conversations, these like, come to Jesus, like, give it to me, tell me everything that I did that pissed you off, I'll tell you everything, and crying and doing these 3-hour powwows, and then we'd have to start fresh. So we've had to like reset ourselves a bunch of times and process things and talk them through. And now we're at a really great place because we have now figured out and understood what our strengths are and not to step on each other's. Mm-hmm. And so that has helped a lot.
Cool. Do you feel codependent in any way based on the success you've had together?
I think
of each other.
I think we realize that it's so interesting that the thing that we're most proud of up to this point career-wise is something we did together. Mm-hmm. And I think that as siblings and especially as sisters, it is such a joy to be able to be working together. But at the same time, Aaron's a writer and Aaron's excited to write things for herself. And I'm excited to produce things that she writes. And that's, last year she had a pilot that I produced and she starred in. And that was the very first time that we embarked on that dynamic. And it really worked. So ultimately, I do think that us together is so strong, but us separate is also strong.
I think I'm kind of I've gotten to a much better place because Sarah and I have figured out our roles where we really do champion each other more than like strangle this like attempt to be together.
And
all
did
the
that
time.
Happen though in Barely Famous season one when you guys were butting heads and had to sort of have those come to Jesus moments? I mean, was that part of the healing process of that?
That was tough.
And what was it? What were you guys like
so
angry and fighting
too,
about and crying about on
we
that?
We all really have our own narratives. Like season one, was joyful for me. Like I, there were moments where, you know, Erin would, we would cut and she'd come on set and she'd be like, okay, you're not funny. Like you're not being funny. This isn't funny at all.
Just like that. Literally, say it like that.
Literally like that. That's it would amazing. Be like I didn't four have takes in and she'd director. Be like, I can't take it anymore. It's so unfunny. I'm dying because it's so
I think
unfunny.
She's being dramatic. I definitely oh would God. Not and, say that.
Oh my God.
I definitely Aaron. Would not say that. That's and, not Sarah. I'm letting Sarah take this yeah, run, but it's not actually true.
But
no, I would walk in and I would be like, okay, that's not working.
Right.
I asked you to seem surprised and it's like, you're not listening to me. Act surprised. And I would do this in front of the whole set. And that was not a good way to do mm-hmm. things. Also, Sarah considered a call time to be just like a light suggestion of when you should be somewhere. She didn't really
that
take
might
that
might be a product of our friendship.
Seriously.
Would she show up an hour late?
I mean, to Sarah, she just, no. Sarah didn't, and she's better about it now. But the idea of like, professionalism was yeah. not something that was important to her, and I am not. I am. It's very important to me to be on time. To not, she would have conversations that were so inappropriate in front of hair and makeup people. She would be like arguing with me about something personal, and I'd be like, "Can you sounds just like pick a
wait,
time
you guys,
or place?"
I got fired off of a UPN pilot for bad behavior.
You like, did?
Do you remember that?
Oh my
God. Guys, I was fired.
I don't remember.
What
that.
Did you do?
I was.
I mean,
late.
I do now. I didn't.
I was late. I like didn't know my lines. You guys, I just
they were
it
like
was crazy.
They were like, you're terrible.
Yeah, but they were like, they were like, this is crazy.
You're
they were like
fired.
They literally recast me after the pilot because I was late. I think I was 45 minutes late to day one.
Oh
she
my
was
God.
Very unprofessional.
No, I just it was
and so
crazy.
For me, yeah. I was like, if I'm going to do this thing with you, I need you to respect these boundaries. I felt like I was in an authoritative position because I was like, I'm coming from a comedy background at this point. I'm writing comedies. I'm doing comedy. I'm stand up, all this stuff. We're
oh,
making
I'm
a comedy.
I'm taking this really seriously.
And this is serious. Mm-hmm. So like show up on time.
This is my
career. And when I give you a direction, do the thing that I ask you to. And our power dynamic switched where all of a sudden I was like acting like I'm in charge. And I think for Sarah, on one hand, she was like, okay, I want to do what you want me to do, but on the other hand, she was like,
fuck
don't
you.
Fucking tell me what to do.
Right. Like, honey, you're not number one on the call sheet. Like, this is our show. We sold this together. This is our concept.
Yeah, who was
I've been in the writer's
on the
room
call sheet.
Since day
did you
one.
Were you both number ones on
probably.
The call sheet?
I think Erin was because
you guys
e
were like
S.
bullet points.
No, but
no
here's
numbers.
The thing. Like, you know, I'm not trying to like toot my own fucking horn here, but like I rose to the occasion. I had not done comedy. And by the way, let's just start by on the way to day one, our manager, or he wasn't my manager at the time. He called on speaker. He was Aaron's manager and it was his idea for the show and he called. And I think it was on the way to shoot the scene with you mm-hmm. at the store. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. He's on speaker. I'm so excited. It's going to be great. Like this fucking show is going to be so funny. I only have one concern, Sarah. On speaker.
And I was like, Ollie, you're on speaker
you're
with
on
Sarah.
Speaker. And then afterwards,
my
and then afterwards
God.
He was like, no, listen, I just, this show needs to be really grounded. And you have been on like a soap opera for the last 5 years. And I just, you know, we just really need to keep you grounded.
He's like, look, you're not
which
a
fair,
great actress.
Which
I don't know what to say. I haven't seen anywhere.
I know, but it was funny.
But the
funny.
Reality
was
is,
really
here's
good.
The thing, I'm not insecure about anymore. I know I can act. But I didn't before
no,
then.
No, I know.
Before then, I really didn't know. I really didn't know. Like, this show challenged
was
me in
scripted,
ways.
Was it scripted, by the way?
Yes. I mean, listen,
it was scripted, but there's a lot of improvising yeah. that needs to be done. And as you guys both know, having comedic timing is something you can't even really learn. Like, you can get better at it, mm-hmm. but, like, you have it or you don't. And it was going to either work or it wasn't going to work. And we did realize day one, like, this is going to work. But it was challenging figuring out, you know, I was, like, directing a lot of season one. And so I would come in and, like, I felt like this is my world and you're here. You have to do what I tell you to. And Sarah was like, no, this is our show and we have to find a balance. And she was right about a lot of things because like my bedside manner was very like, I finally found my thing. Don't fuck it up for me. And you have to do what I ask you to. Mm-hmm. And so we had to find both of our power.
I would have like quit.
So fuck you. I'm out
I would have been like, if Erin would have said that to me and I was her sister, I'd be like, I'm
but
out.
Deep yeah, down,
yeah,
I
guess
gotta
what?
Be honest,
I fucking quit.
But deep down, I was happy for her to take the reins. Like deep yeah. down, yeah. the truth
well,
is
here's,
like
But here's the thing.
So wait, did you feel any of that? Oh wait, I'm your bigger sister. Don't fucking tell me what to do.
I gotta be honest. After every take, I would look to her and I'd go, "Be honest." The real truth is, Aaron and I have actually only done one thing together.
Mm-hmm.
We did Barely Famous together. We've only done.
You're influencers.
We're not talking
about
the whole Instagram world. I mean, this is where you guys have become sort of the dynamic duo.
Well, we only have our platform because of our show,
right?
We would have,
and that's become.
But Instagram did change our careers as well, because it's a platform that so many people pay attention to.
So when you're Instagramming, when you're doing these partnerships, I think what people don't know is that you're very involved in the creative. Where you see,
we create the 100%.
Creative. 100%.
Yeah, that's the only reason brands go to us.
People don't know that.
We don't actually have that many followers. There are people that are a lot younger, more attractive, funnier, what more followers. But the truth is, brands only come to us because we create the creative.
We have to come up with a storyline. Mm-hmm. We have to learn it. We have to direct it. I mean, we have directors and people who help, but like
we have
to create this world. And it's the same kind of thing that we did on our show. And it would be the same thing if it was like a union show on Fox or whatever it would be. Like, it's not that different.
Yeah.
It's just short form and it's short term, and the turnover is really quick. And so I think that like now we're in a place where we feel less shame around this idea that a big part of our career does come from Instagram.
Yeah. And I also feel that Instagram does become almost a job in a sense, because you're trying to think of original content. That's basically what it is.
Well, it's an outlet.
Yeah, but look what's happened for you.
But by the way,
people are
realize
seeing
how funny
you differently
are
than they ever would have.
Yeah.
They're really getting a window into what your comedic weirdness is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for most people, Instagram shows a side of you that people really don't like. Not you. People in general. Yeah. A lot of people become their worst selves with the outlet of being able to film themselves all the time. And it can bring out the worst in a lot of people.
Oh,
normal,
man.
Everyday dads out in the world that are like not actors, that are just going to work every day, and all of a sudden they think that they're like a fucking comedian. And it's so embarrassing for so many people.
It's crazy.
But I think in this room, it has helped us a lot hone our skills. And I think it has shown a different side of you, Oliver.
What are you looking forward to right now? For in the immediate future, things you're working on, stuff to look out for, like what is it that you're really excited about? Other than, of course, that you're about to get married. And it's like for this year, it's the most exciting time.
But part of your whole shtick, which is your reality, but it's what you've sort of capitalized on, I think, is this single vibe, trying to find love. Mm-hmm. You know, so in one hand, it's amazing you're getting married, and in the other, it's totally fucked.
Now she's just going to be a crazy wife.
You're totally fucked. No,
well, the truth is that when
wife.
I met Simon, I was like, my whole bit is being single, and so because he kept saying like, I'm a private person, and like, I don't want our relationship out there. And I was like, okay, well, you have a choice. I can either continue to pretend to be single, or I can switch my narrative and be like, act like the crazy girlfriend.
Right.
And he didn't want me to act like I was single. He didn't like that. And so he has to let me sort of expose parts of our relationship, because for whatever reason, like my access point, and I learned this a long time ago when I started writing my blog, is that my superpower is relating to other women. My superpower is becoming every woman's experience, whether it's bad dates, getting engaged, being single, going through a breakup, having a sister that you want to be cool for, whatever the thing is, like that's my superpower. And so that's the thing that I get excited about, is finding different ways to use that access point. And so now I'm the crazy girlfriend, or I'm the girl getting engaged that didn't think she was ever going to. And now I'm like a psycho bridezilla.
And does he have to sort of curate your content? Does he ever look at it and say, I don't want you to do that?
Yeah,
has he ever gotten mad at anything that you've posted?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Simon is not a fan of me talking about ex-boyfriends.
I'm also like not allowed to talk about it either.
My past. I've lived a life. I've had relationships.
Yeah.
And so I can't, and my whole like essence and being is about being open about my experiences. So you can't like censor that. And so I think that is a struggle for us, in the sense that he supports me being like an outspoken person and being candid and all that, but it is foreign to him. He comes from a culture that is much more private, that is much more protective of what happens at home. Mm-hmm. And it's been an adjustment period.
It
for
is
him
interesting
to
though too, because I think ultimately you are really passionate about writing a book.
I am.
Which you will do. And it's going to be interesting, you know, how you navigate which you'll have to think about it.
What is
no,
what,
I know, but
what
it's,
kind yeah. of book?
Tell all.
Tell yeah. all about you and your brother. No, Oldie. I want to write a lot of books. I mean, I should have written a book 10 years ago. I think that like me relating to other women is a huge part of like what I care about and talking about my experiences. And the thing is that like where what the a big part of Simon and my relationship being special is how I got here and where I was before, and me being a girl who never knew how to not be in a dysfunctional relationship and was only attracted to people who were abusive, and like finding a normal, good, decent person that I love would seemed impossible. And the fact that I actually figured that out, I think a lot of women go, fuck, maybe I can figure that out. Maybe I can stop my bad habits.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to what I said, which
what
is
are
what you guys
about?
Are excited okay. about.
Should I say
other
what
than
I'm excited
your
for and then you can say what you're excited for?
Sure.
So for me, I is this just career? What we're excited about
yeah,
career-wise?
Yeah, career.
What about just everything?
Or just your future.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm excited. We haven't even touched on the fact that Aaron and I are heads of created at Bumble, which is a tech company,
oh,
which
right.
is a whole other.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even
right.
talked about
it. It's a whole
that.
Other part of our story. But what that has done for us is that has put us into a conversation and put us into a space of investing. And that is something that I'd never have had the confidence to explore ever. And because of Bumble, it's put us in these rooms and at these tech conferences. And I now have the confidence, and I think Aaron does as well, to explore that part of life. Mm-hmm. And so we're making investments and starting our own company. We're starting our own clothing line. We have this new overall at 20th where they're really supporting us in development. So we have 4 shows in development that we're excited about, some that we're awesome. In, some that Aaron's writing that I have nothing to do with. We're toying with bringing back Barely Famous for a 3rd season just for fun. Aaron does a lot of speaking things. We do speaking things together. She does them apart. But really, I guess I am land the plane. I don't know. I'm excited about kind of all of it. I'm excited that
land the plane.
I'm excited.
My flaps are up.
Flaps are up.
Flaps are up.
My kids are getting older. I feel like I'm sort of coming out of that. They're turning 4 and 9, and I'm more focused on work than I've ever been.
And what's your drive for it? What's driving that?
I think what's driving that is the concept of, you know, going and just auditioning for someone else's material. It's something that doesn't even faze me. Now that I've dipped my feet in developing something from the coming up with a seed and turning it into what it is, I now crave that.
It's like realizing you can
yes,
be in control of
exactly.
your own destiny.
It doesn't even occur to me to join someone else's project. I don't care if it's going to take 20 goes. Like, I can't see myself participating in something that I'm not involved from the very beginning. And it excites me. And it's truly what wakes me up in the morning.
Aaron Foster.
I'm excited about developing these TV shows and getting them on the air. And I'm excited also to get married and have kids and start that part of my life.
Yeah.
You have kids.
I know,
I mean,
it really
the day
is.
The after we get married.
It is. It
going
is.
For it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I really do think too,
oh
when
God,
Aaron has
I'm
kids,
cry.
She's gonna have a kid for sure in 2020.
I better fucking.
And I already
have a
see
kid.
What's happening. She's gonna be like, just leave me alone. I'm with my kid. I'm like, bitch, get up. We have got to show up because I'm now so. Aaron's like, you're so annoying every day. It's.
I'm
like,
honestly not as career focused as Sarah right now. That's just the truth.
I'm also really excited to be an aunt to Aaron's kids.
Oh, that's nice.
Me too. That's a whole other.
That's
how
so nice.
Often do you see each other?
Every day.
Every day.
Who got on Instagram first?
Aaron.
Who has more Instagram followers?
Aaron.
Sarah now.
Rude, Ollie.
Is this a sense? Do you guys go back and forth about this?
No, we always usually have pretty much the same amount.
yeah, how many more do you have than her?
I swear to, I really don't know.
You don't know?
No, I never that much more.
Who's the better cook?
You know, it's interesting. I would say me, but because I can cook more dishes, but I think Aaron is now entering into maybe taking that spot. She's like with her weird cookbooks and maybe
she's really getting
more.
Into
you're
the matzo
more
balls,
you're more of a natural.
Brisket.
Yeah.
I've been
she's really embracing the
Borscht.
Jewish traditions.
Yeah. yeah.
Who's funnier?
Aaron.
Oh, interesting.
I think we are funny in different ways at different times.
Yeah, we have
I
a
would say, on,
different...
I swear to God, like, and I would be honest. I would say that you guys are both, you're just so different.
Yeah, so different.
Who's funnier on social media? Same.
Well, I've kind of like borrowed from Aaron's whole bit. I sort of, I don't want to say I stole. I mean, I stole.
I'd say you stole.
But I kind of, and by the way, not just me. I think there are a lot of women who I'm not going to name who have also kind of stolen her sort of self-deprecating thing that she does. She was kind of doing it first, honestly.
Imitation's the greatest form of flattery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One word to describe the other.
Aaron, loyal.
Oh, motivated. Nice. Who's more outgoing?
Me. Sarah says Sarah. Well, Aaron, what do you think?
We already know the answer to this. Who is late to things more often?
Oh, God.
Sarah Foster.
Sarah.
Yeah, but Aaron was late today.
That's true.
Thank you.
Very true.
Can I also say, I've been working on it.
What the hell?
Me too.
I've been working on it.
Real.
By the way, you have been very on time lately. Mm-hmm. You have.
Wow. Who is or was a better rule follower?
Oh, please.
Aaron. I love rules.
Who takes longer to get ready?
Aaron.
I think Aaron.
Aaron does.
Yeah.
I leave the house with like wet hair
and no makeup.
Which, by
the way, is surprising.
It is surprising because Sarah's more vain than I am. But I get...
Thanks.
Sarah, you can admit that. Yeah. Sarah's more vain and...
But I'll go to like a red carpet with no makeup and wet
hair. That's
true. I will go to an event with wet hair and no makeup. It is very strange.
I think
strange.
This is why we were really close.
It's
we were
strange.
Always like... We never
you'd
took
go out with,
time.
Like, zits and like...
We never
you
took time getting
zits.
Ready, Sarah and I. We put on like slips and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I like this one. If you were casting someone as your sister, who would it be? Who would play Sarah Foster?
Well, I know who I think.
Who do you
I probably
think?
Shouldn't say it.
Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb. I was going to say Robin Wright. I always
Robin Wright.
Right.
That's
I always get Robin Wright. Good. That's who I always get.
I'm bad at this casting.
She's got to be funnier.
Really
who would we cast as Aaron Foster?
It's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
There is no other me.
Emma Stone.
Perfect.
Right. Okay.
Okay, but now we got to get Sarah. We still
okay, so Emma Stone
her.
Should be in a movie with...
Charlize? No.
Cool. We just like couldn't come up with anyone for
who
me?
The last no. word? Who gets the last word in an argument?
Aaron.
Who gets annoyed more easily?
Aaron.
Who borrows things from the other more?
Oh, please. I don't want anything of Aaron's. She only borrows mine. My stuff.
That's true.
Not like trying to borrow her.
What about money or fame?
Money.
I think we both choose money. I mean, fame seems pretty shitty, no?
Okay. I've got a great question. If you were running for office.
I was just going to ask this one.
Would there be any skeletons in either of your closets?
How about just what is the skeleton that would torpedo
that would
your
derail
campaign?
Your campaign?
It's so interesting because you know what's so interesting about all of us is we've never done drugs. Mm-hmm. Never.
I actually did chocolate mushrooms recently and I really liked
it. But does that count?
It's the best.
You know, we don't have
we've never
a lot
done coke.
Of skeletons in our closet. We've
no DUIs.
No prostitutes. No
teen
DUIs.
Pregnancies.
There's nothing that you would do.
Oh, texting and driving. I've been in trouble for that multiple times.
I don't know if that's a skeleton. Yeah.
No, but
like,
I'm saying is
like three times
you're
going to
dig shit up on you.
That could take me down?
Oh, yeah.
That they dig shit up. Press would dig shit up on
Kate.
You and submarine your
I think
fantasy.
Mine would be like old tweets.
So we do this thing at the end of each podcast, and there's a $10,000 charitable donation to the charity of each other's choice.
$10,000?
Yeah.
And we're asking everyone after this podcast, basically, who you like more. Just generally.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
No, I know.
And we have to collectively agree on
No. One can be one.
Who you like more. Or I say, who do you think is like really showing up at this podcast?
It's just a feeling. You gotta. It's just an overall feeling.
What
you know?
I'm going to say is that I'm gonna pick Ollie because I'm gonna pick Ollie because Kate and I have a more consistent relationship, and so I have enjoyed my time with you in a new way that surprised me.
I have too.
That I haven't had with Kate. I mean, sorry, that I've had with Kate before, so it didn't surprise me. But you're surprised me.
I feel attracted to Aaron. Like I feel like I feel like we should have dated maybe.
I could tell while this was happening and Aaron was talking. I could be like Oliver was like, Aaron's really smart.
She's my kind of girl. I don't know if she's smart. But we've
and
never
I
had
like a different kind of attention to the conversation.
Okay.
I would
she's,
say.
I think.
You're turning red.
You're getting red.
The lobster.
Want to focus on me
actually,
right now?
What a perfect bookend for the whole fucking
It's actually felt it happening. I was like, oh God, as he's talking about me right now, I'm feeling myself get hot and red.
By the way, Simon's going to fucking kill you.
I know.
By the way, you're dead in this. You're dead. The Russians are coming
Simon's
for you.
Simon's a Russian mobster. You're dead.
I want to say that Kate really impressed me today because you always impress me, Ollie.
Thanks.
But I want to say that you are a really good interviewer. You did not make it about you at all. And I'm sorry, for someone like her, where it is always all about her, forever, since you're fucking 16.
She's has great.
No, you guys, she has been famous since she was...
the beauty of
she's been famous since she was 16.
It's been all about me, not because of me, because of
can let me
the
finish.
People around
it's been all about her since she was 16. Yes. Everyone has kissed her ass. Yeah. For her whole life, like the seas part for her, yep. Because of Kate. Stop acting like you're so shocked by
but
this.
It's not like something I demanded.
I'm not saying you demand it. Just let me.
Well, you don't mind.
It's my life.
Don't mind.
It's,
right,
it's
I was my life. Say, I mean,
it's my guys. It's my life path.
It's it was your calling ever since you did that in style cover shoot with mom.
With mom on
with
the cow,
mom on the donkey, cow, where the she cow. Pretended like what? I just got home from school. You right. want to take my picture?
Yeah. I did. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I was really impressed. Purpose. I find that for people that are interviewing other people when they're people like her, it's like kind of impossible not to make it bring it always back around to yourself when you're someone like her. You did not talk about yourself or your own experiences literally at all in the last 4 hours. You really made it all about the people you were interviewing, which is wild. You're really good at it. And I'm impressed.
Okay, one for one.
But I also would like to compliment
well,
Oliver.
Thank you, babe. No,
because like you're funny on your shows acting, but you're funny on your social media and you're funny in person and you're the best.
I love you.
Love you too.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.